Today's daf is daf pei beis, and we're holding at the two. That's one third of the way down. So the Gemara, the Mishnah has told us that we have two situations, one in which the sale of a tree is only the right to grow the tree in my field, the seller's field, and the other in which there's a number of trees. What the number is a machlokas in the Mishnah, but in the other where there's a number of trees, once there's a sufficient number, it becomes an orchard. If it's an orchard, then it's understood that it's being sold as an orchard, including the land. Once it's sold, including the land, now the seller has no responsibilities. Where he was giving him the rights and providing for another individual to grow a tree in his field, that includes, obviously, whatever it needs, because that's what I've given you. But once we've separated out the two areas, so that one person has an orchard, the other person has an adjacent field, so to speak, and maybe it's adjacent on all four sides, but the point is, it's a separate property. He no longer owes him more than any neighbor owes a neighbor. He didn't make any guarantees about what it was that he was giving him. Now here, lechora, we already tread upon the question of ayin yafeh or ayin ra'ah, because, I mean, if lemaisa, you're going to tell me that he has a right to a derech, so then he should also have a right to certain things in the other person's property that are essential for his tree, that the Gemara is going to discuss. And that, of course, is where we're about to go. But the interesting thing to remember, of course, is that according to the Rashbam, Ali ben Rabbi Akiva, we would always have said that he was meicher the ara itself because he's selling him the right b'ayin yafeh, and therefore it would mean more than giving him just the right to grow the tree in his property. In which case, the whole Mishnah would only be going Ali ben Rabbanan, and we're going to see that's very difficult to fit into today's Gemara. And indeed, the other Rishonim disagree. We mentioned yesterday, I mean, there's a tremendous difference between saying you give a person a subsidiary right and saying you give them the primary right because you've sold the subsidiary thing. Okay, so today we'll see a little bit more about this. The first indication in the Mishnah that there's a difference which accrues to the advantage, actually, of the buyer, where he has less rights to the karka, is in the question of whether the person who sold the rights to him has a right to cut down branches that are extending over his growth in the field and preventing proper growing. So if, says the Mishnah, he sold it to him as trees, then he owes him the right for the trees to continue to grow. If the trees grow over the seller's field, it's tough for the seller. That's what he agreed to. Mashenkin, if he sold it as an orchard, then he can cut down any thick branches that are covering his growth and preventing it from growing. So the Mishnah says, in that case where he did not sell him either the two trees or the three trees, depending if you hold Rabbona, but if he didn't sell him sufficient, so then he's not allowed to cut down the branch. The Mishnah continues to say the other difference would be trees that sprout up. If they sprout up from the shorashim, so since I only gave him the rights to the growth of the tree, I didn't give him rights to trees that are now going to grow anew and sprout up from shorashim, they're not included. Majenkin, if I sold him the ara, so then anything that grows in that land, it's his business. He wants to let it continue to grow. It can continue to grow. Ask the Gemara, and what defines now min hageza, and what defines min hashorashim? I mean, how high off the ground, what how far away from the geza? Rabbi Yochanan, look, it's very simple. The point over here is that it has to be visibly part of the tree that I sold. If it's growing off of the tree and it's visible, so now that's it. But if it wasn't visible, he could say, but it's clearly coming out of the roots. So, but it's seen as a different tree. Lamaisa, had I sold him three trees in which the other two trees were coming out of the shorashim of the first tree, he would have had a right to be tevea the karka b'nei. But I'm not going to be able to tell him, well, they share a root system. So the male, it's not called to stay yilanot because they share a root system. The same thing is true over here. So therefore, it becomes min hashorashim. The very fact that it's not rei b'nei achama, that's called a different tree. I didn't tell you a different tree. So how does this work out now? You're telling me that kosher rei b'nei achama is considered to be the original tree. I mean, and that means that you're allowing something that's a centimeter above the ground, a millimeter above the ground, to be considered the buyer. But you don't understand that things change over time. I mean, the ground could silt up, you have a flood, you have a heavy rain that pushes the ground. So then, I mean, what does it take for the guy to come along and claim, ah, look, there's another tree next to this tree. Now I really have three trees, according to Rabbanon. So you have to give me now all three, all of the land between them, and more, right? So how could you give a right to a person to something which is, you're not going to take into consideration the dangers of a tviyah to the seller? How is he going to be able to prove that this tree was initially a tree that was visible a millimeter over the ground, and over the course of time it became hidden? He's not going to be able to prove that. So he'll say, Platas of Intali, you showed me three trees and I have the Aram. There's got to be some limit over here, what you call a tree, how close to the ground it could be. Elam Rav Nachman, we weren't saying that you get a right to allow that tree to grow as a tree for the next 10 years and 5 years down the line, it's going to look like a separate tree. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is the growth is yours, but it's not yours to allow it to continue to grow. It's yours to chop off and put in your fireplace. But certainly we will not allow a long-term situation, give you the schus to a long-term situation, which could end up now having you be teveya, something that you claim was there the whole time. V'chein om Rav Yochanan, the meaning was that it's his, not in the sense of gidul, but his in the sense of ketzitza. So if they're arguing over the value of the wood, so then it's the buyer's wood, as long as it's a millimeter above the ground, it's also the buyer's wood. Om Rav Nachman, naktinan dekel in lo geza. I mean, this is obviously meant to be some type of remez to halacha, that a dekel does not have a trunk. What's that supposed to mean? So sover of zvid lemeima, ein lo geza lebala dekel. That lemaisa, even though we said that you have rights to what grows out of the trunk, as long as it doesn't grow from the shorashim, that's not true when it comes to a dekel. Why? Because the kivan de la michpa vele sharesh koi, asuche mesach daiten. We said before that if somebody cuts down a dekel, so as opposed to that was the drasha that we spoke about, tzadik tamay frach, but ke'eres balbanam. So the dekel, once it would be cut down, it's not machlef. So they no longer will grow out of that same trunk. And the other trees will. So by the same token, things that grow out of the trunk are not considered to be the buyers. Why not? Because he's not really thinking anymore of the tree as being something that produces additional trees. A dekel is mesiach daita, because as soon as the dekel is cut, he realizes he has no more rights, and he's going to be pulling out. He's going to uproot his dekel. We said before, if you sell a dekel, you can move the whole thing out of the field, cut it by, take it out by its roots. So that means that the person was Mesiach Das, and therefore he's no longer going to be Zoche either to things that are Yotze Menageza. That's not his way of looking at the tree. He wasn't looking at this dekel as being something that has any long-term possibility. Masha Inkein, another tree, he figures, okay, even if I have to cut down the tree, so I can always wait until it regenerates. But the dekel, which is not going to regenerate, he sees this as a short-term sort of slash-and-burn operation. He's going to be collecting the fruits, it's finished, it's no longer economical, go buy dekel. Maskevler of Papa. But that's not true. The Mishnah doesn't make any distinctions. The Mishnah says, according to Rabban and Argan Rabbi Meir, so Kainish Neilanot, what's the din? That's the Mithbar Lamishrash Kainish. So over there, according to the Rabbanan, that's not called the Steilanot. Or according to Rabbi Meir, we could say the same thing by a one tree. So it's a made if the tree dies to be ripped out of the land, right? In the end. Vikatani the Yeshlo Geza. Geza in the sense of anything which grows out of the Geza. So we said, as long as it's not from the Shorashim, it's Yotzim and Ageza. Who is the owner of that Geza? The buyer. But the Mishnah made a distinction between when it came to sales, we made a distinction. Because you're allowed to be taking the type of tree that has no regeneration, you're allowed to rip it out of the ground together with the roots. So why doesn't the Mishnah make a distinction then, according to Rav Nachman, between a Tamar and other things? You see, the Mishnah says, in general, any tree, as long as it's alive, despite the fact that in the end you don't get rights to it, because we're talking about Shnei Lanot Olibet Chachomim, or Ilana Karakon Yerobi Meir, it's clear from the Mishnah that Aval Pikan, you're not Mesiach Daitem Imeno. I mean, what exactly is you looking at a slash and burn? Why is one more slash and burn than the other? The tree is only going to be valuable as long as it lives. So you're saying, well, yeah, but there's a difference because it's got a longer lifespan. Even if something happens to it, I can always cut the trunk. And if the trunk, I mean, it happens that the trunk dries out, so I'll cut it again. In other words, I'll get to the living wood and it'll start now being Maitzi Geza. So therefore, on that tree, I'm going to think of it as a long-term thing, but the tamar, I won't think of it as a long-term thing, because if it dries out on top, I can't cut it again, it's finished. It's a very arbitrary distinction. They're both not long-term investments in the sense of it's not going to die, it's going to die. You said the fact that it's lemishrash koi means that you don't get any rights. The Mishnah says not like you. It says yesh lo geza. This has to be fine-tuned a little bit. Elam Rav Papa, the point isn't that there's no geza because you're Mesiach Das, since you assume it's a short-term investment that it's going to be Nishtaresh. Every tree will be Nishtaresh. The reason that Rav Nachman is saying it doesn't have a geza to a dekel is because the norm is that ain't a mochi geza. It doesn't, when we say geza here obviously means in the sense of what comes out of the trunk, not the trunk itself. So when he's saying dekel ain't lo geza, Doesn't mean Ein Lo Geza doesn't have a trunk, which is the way we originally understood it. It doesn't have a trunk, meaning that we don't see it as a long-term investment, because since there's no trunk there, in the sense that if it gets dry, what are you going to do about it? It's not going to help you to cut it. It's not machalif. So mainly, even if it's meitzi on those rare occasions, things from the sides, it's a mesir das from it. That doesn't stand up to the whole reading of the Mishnah. But if we restate it a little bit, say that the reason that Ein Lo Geza, not pshat Ein Lo Geza because its trunk isn't useful. That's not the point. Ein Lo Geza is referring to the growth out of the trunk. And Rav Nachman is not giving you the tam. He's not saying, since there's no Geza, there's no rights to anything that comes out of Geza. That's not true. But what he is saying is that there is no rights to what's yotzei min ha-Geza. Now I have to explain to you why, because I'm not looking to Rav Nachman, give me the reason. I'll tell you why. When you buy rights to something, the rights to those things is defined by what the norm is, right? So obviously, a normal tree that there's constant sprouts coming out of the bottom. Okay, so then the buyer is clearly thinking of at least being able to use those sprouts for his fireplace. He's going to use them. The dekel is very rare that it's motzi geza while it's a growing tree. It always grows from the top. You'll almost never see a dekel that's growing a new dekel from the side. It's not to say it's impossible, but it's not the norm. Since it's not the norm, it is not what was meant by selling you the rights to the dekel. I wasn't selling you rights to things that you're not thinking about. So it has nothing to do with that sochas hadas. It has to do with the fact that I never bought it in the first place. That's the point. In which case, now I can understand that that's the meaning. Aye, what about the Mishnah? So you'll say, we asked the same kasha that we asked before. I thought we said, so that's not the norm. He said, so Rav Zvid, lemeima, ein lo gezel l'bal adeka, kiven l'mitfa l'mishra. So Rav Zvid, kasha mas nisen. So how is it then that the Mishnah could ever talk about a case in which it says that we do have the rights to the any type of tree, even including, now that says the Gemara, the truth is we can explain it. It could be talking about the Zomilei L'cha Mishni. If you sell rights for a particular amount of time, as opposed to rights that are linked to the tree itself, then obviously you are including, even switching, if something happens to this tree, I'm going to be able to switch it for another tree. So normally, I sell you the tree, as long as the tree is alive, I sell you the tree. If I start defining the time, I mean, I'm not God to tell you how long the tree is going to be able to live. So then that means I'm giving you the right even to switch the tree, if necessary.
Replant.
So if that's the case, then already, of course, you can't say that I'm a siyardat because it's a slash and burn operation. It's not a slash and burn. I'm a long-term investor. Now I'm thinking of it not in terms of a particular tree. So if I'm not thinking in terms of a particular tree, so then it's no different than any other tree. Then I do have, in fact, the right to take what comes out from the tree, because I'm not looking at the tree as the definer of what my rights are. So Bishlam in a case where I thought, well, what am I going to do? If something happens to this tree, I'm not going to be able to shave the trunk and now get down to the live wood. It's going to start growing. It won't start growing. Ah, but if I would rip out the trunk and I would put in a new tree, obviously it's worth it for me. So Mamela, in a case where I didn't need to cut down the trunk further in order to get to live wood, and Lamaitza did start sprouting, so then it's also mine. It's up to me to decide. Either I want to put in a tree, I don't want to put in a tree. That's the case that we would work out a little bit of Rizvid, but you can't just stop, walk over Rizvid, and the Papa says, forget about Rizvid. It has to be addressed. This is the way to address it. Kona shlosha kanakaka. However, according to Rabbi Meir, if you bought two trees, according to Nachomi, if you bought three trees, then already you get the ground in between. Now, I mean, this clearly is insufficient information. What are you going to say? Guy's got a field that stretches over a square kilometer, and he sells somebody one tree 500 feet for the on this side, another tree that's a half a mile away on the other side, he gets all the land in between. I mean, that's ridiculous. There's got to be some definition of what you mean, three trees, and it's within a certain area, obviously. So what is that area that we're calling a three tree is already defines an orchard, and over there he meant to give him even the karka name. How does that tie into the Mishnah? And when you say the karka that is beinehem, what about the karka that's directly beneath them? I mean, where I need to sit down, we talked about before, I mean, you're going to need to pick. There's all very nice, something that's karka directly beneath it. How am I going to stand there? You know, at the outside, there's branches maybe 30 feet going in the other direction, and I'm only getting the rights to underneath, between the trees, and directly underneath the trees. And what do I do about the branches going over his field? Am I going to get the stuff from there? I mean, all these questions, you're going to have to start explaining to me.
So first of all, when we say you have, you're kind of karka. What do we mean by karka? Omer Priya Barava, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it means two things need to be included. First of all, tachtehen. The first thing is, you definitely have the rights to that which is directly underneath the trunk of the tree, and directly underneath whatever branches you've bought. That for sure you have a right. Now, you also, after drawing, let's first draw that circle, and now let's draw a triangle besides the circle. The circles could stick out beyond the triangle. But starting from the actual body of the trunk of the tree, draw now a triangle to the other trees in such a way that's most efficient, so that you get whatever land is between those trees, however they stack up this triangle. And, of course, it's not going to be a straight line, because some trees have branches sticking out there, some trees... But the triangle itself will be a straight line, because it's going from the outside of the trunks of the trees. So that's how we have to understand it.
Between the circles, you're making a triangle.
No. Inside the circle. The circles are sticking outside of the triangle because the circles include... Each tree has a separate circle besides the triangle.
From the trunk itself, the bottom
of the trunk, you also have a triangle. So there's two different measurements. And I need to include one other thing. Because what about where you've got branches are sticking out, let's say, 20 feet away. And now I've got some heavy growth on the outside of those branches. So I've got to have these dates hanging down. And so what am I supposed to do now? Stand directly under the branches in order to then have to be able to stand outside and put my hands on the branches to get the things off, yeah? So how do I do that? I mean, I need a picker. I need a thing to be able to get up on my picker. So for that, I also get land. So we have to give you v'chutzalah, and we have to give you outside. Kimelo ore v'salo. So the ored, again, remember that we have different words for different trees. We have different words for the different seasons of picking. And we have the betzira, and we have the kitzira, and we have the gedira, and we have the mesika. The same thing is true for the word of the person who's doing the work. So there's the kotzer of the tvua, and there's the ored of the te'enim, and there's the goder on the tamarim. Each thing has its own reference. So here we're talking about, we're using the model of a fig tree. Fig trees, we have these thick branches. We need somebody, I mean, the actual date tree, we're going to have to climb up. It's a different issue. But over here, we're going to have a wagon that's under the tree. We have to be able to stand up outside and put up a ladder and bring down whatever things are high. So I need to keep outside of the circle itself that I would have drawn around the branches. I need to extend it yet further to be able for the ore to be standing at the place his basket so that he can now efficiently take the fruit off of the outermost branches.
But in general, didn't we say when you would sell a tree that you could get the working area?
This is the working area. This is where we're talking about it now. This is the makor. We took it for granted previously. Maskil Rabbi Elazar, I don't understand what you're talking about. If you sell the guy the rights to this thing, and he now needs to come in with his tractor, you're going to tell him, no, sorry, I didn't sell you an easement to get in with your tractor. Because we said, Ein lo alav derech, at least according to Chachamim. We're going to see in a moment why is he assuming that Allah is like the Chachamim. But at least Aliba the Chachamim, he can't even bring his tractor in. So, I mean, this is insane. The guy can't get the tractor into the field, but I'm giving him the land. You understand how crazy that is? If I'm not even allowing you to get there, how in the heck are you going to make a claim against me that I should be able to stand there with the tractor that I have to parachute in? It's an absurd contradiction. So Masker of Elazar, excuse me, but hashta derech ein lo. He doesn't even have a right to a derech. Now, the girsa, take a look at the Bach. He takes out, it's a lot of additional words here. He sort of collapses the words into one simple statement. Maskel Rabbeleza, hashta derech ein lo. Why? The ara achritehu. Have you not decided that the reason that this person is not allowed to cut off the branches and so on is because if there's three ilanot, or two alibidari there, it's a different field. So if it's a different field, then it gets back to the other issue. He's a meicher. Is he buying yafa meicher or not? So if we paskin, we'll see why he's assuming this. But if we paskin like the chachamim, that ba'ayin ro, meicher, if he's selling a different thing, he doesn't even have a right to bring in or get in himself. He's going to have to parachute in, right? No. So if he doesn't even have a derech, because it's a different piece of land, so kimlo uravis alo yeshlo, that he is given. Isn't that a little bit insane? And he takes out that, in other words, he took the words, the ara achritehu, stuck it into the beginning of the statement as the original svara for what the question is. In other words, given that this is a different lot, because it's three trees, or two trees, or Once it's a different lot, you no longer say that he's a meicher, buying yafa, he's an ayin ra. If it wasn't a different lot, he has commitments. Because I told you, you could stay here and you could keep your tree. But once it's a different lot, we're looking at it as a mocher bayin ra'ah. So if we look at it as a mocher bayin ra'ah, so how can we possibly say we give you gimlo orem? Fine. Om Rebbe Zera, so it says Rebbe Zera, from the way Rebbe just asked that question, that was from the Hatkafah of Rebbe Lozer against Rebbe Yochanan, you can understand, how did he phrase that? He said, since it's ara akriti, that's the main point. In other words, since we're now considering it to be a sale of a different rishus, so what does that mean? You see from here that what he's saying is that only in a case of a sale do we say that meicher ba'ayin ra'u mocher. And therefore he doesn't have a derech. But if, in fact, he was selling the rights to the trees alone, so this is another example where you get more by owning less. Because since I committed to you for the trees, and you have no objection, Rebbe Lozer in this case, had no objection to his having whatever rights there are to the trees in a case where it's only two trees, or only one tree, so you see from there that shloshah gudein lo derech, hashnayim yeshlo. If, however, there were only two trees, according to Rabbanan, so then it's not arachrite. If it's not arachrite, you could say ba'aradidach kaimei. This is all in your field. So obviously you must have given me the rights to get there. So here you have more rights because it wasn't arachrite. That's before we get to the question. I mean, Rabbi Lezer asked the question. We didn't answer the question right there. But before we get to the answer, Lamaisa, let's analyze his statement. Taina's Rebbe Zera, from the way that he asked the question, it's obvious that he holds that there's no issue of meicher b'ayin ra'ah if there was no mechir of the karka. Because once I commit myself to the field, now I'm allowing you to get into the field too. But lemaisa, I mean, what is the answer to the question? Well, first of all, I don't understand what the question is. Because the question is based on the Mishnah assuming that the halacha is like the Rabbanan and Rebbe Akiva. Because according to Rebbe Akiva, the meicher is b'ayin yafu meicher. But this is very strange, and he should make such an assumption. Because Amalei Reb Nachman Yitzchak LeRava, you're telling me that Rebbe Lozer, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, is taking for granted that Shmuel was wrong? Because remember, Shmuel paskin like Rebbe Akiva. And here Rebbe Lozer is saying, well, obviously it's not halachic Rebbe Akiva, it's got to be like the Rabbanan. I mean, isn't that strange? Leimer Rebbe Lozer, let le de Shmuel Rabbe. The Omer Shmuel halach Rebbe Akiva, the Omer Mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, and the whole kasha of Rebbe Lozer is, how in the world could a guy be expected to parachute in, but at the same time, you're giving him even the melo ora, because after all, how do I expect him to be able to harvest? What do you mean, how do you expect to be able to harvest? How do you expect to be able to get there? But if you hold mecha b'ayin yafa mecha, what's the problem? Of course you gave him a derech. And the same way you gave him a derech, you gave him kelo revis alo. So why in the world would he make such an assumption? Now you understand that this is devastating, l'chora, to the Rashbam. Because the Rashbam's svara was all along that the Mishnah cannot be going a litur b'yakiva, simply because it says, lo machar karka b'neihem, if it's only one tree or two trees. Right? So what's the Gemara asking? I mean, we should just shout, what are you, crazy? Obviously we're not going according to Rabbi Akiva. The whole Mishnah can't be a litur b'yakiva. This is why the other Rishonim say that issue has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. Because again, the ground is more important than the tree. Why would I say Mocha Bayan Yafa means I'm Mocha the Karka? So leaving the Rashbam, we're going to have to say that, well, just because the opening of the Mishnah, Lagavi, the Shnayim B'Shlorsha is not like Rabbi Akiva, you should take for granted that all of the discussions afterwards would also have to be not only with Rabbi Akiva. I mean, what Lamaisa in a case where you did give him the Karka, and then it's no longer relevant if it's Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan? So now, why is he assuming that once we're dealing with that issue, it's dafka mecher b'ayin ra? Why shouldn't he die? Why shouldn't he assume mecher b'ayin yafa? That's the Gemara's kasha. But surely, that's stretching things a bit. I mean, usually when we could get even to a previous Mishnah, we'll say, "Umida, I like Rabbi Akiva. I like Rabbi Akiva." Why should we say we changed in the middle of the Mishnah? We suddenly changed and said, "Okay." So Rashbam is saying, "Look, there's two different issues. There's first of all the question of what would definitely be included in the sale if l'maisa mecher b'ayin ra mecher." And now, okay, now we're talking about whether there was a sale. What's the din? Well, there was a sale, so now let's go and leave it to halacha. If the halacha is mecher b'ayin yafa, so let's talk about it in terms of mecher b'ayin yafa.
Didn't the Gemara say earlier that when he held that Rebbe Akiva, was just because he mixed up the names?
No, but we didn't paskin like that. That was him. We weren't saying that's what Shmuel meant.
Ah.
Was it that Shmuel had mixed up? He had it mixed up, so Mamela, we didn't tie on you that you were going against Shmuel. That's the point. But Labai said that he was wrong. Shmuel knew exactly what he was saying. You see, that's what all Emshech of the Sugya there. Okay, in any event, so why in the world would he paskin not Alibet Rabbi Akiva? So I told him, no, I'll tell you why. Amar Leib, of course he owes like Shmuel. It turns out Halacha L'maaseh, it's his Rebbe. However, he saw that the Mishnah can't work Alibi Rebbe Akiva. Lo mituk b'masisik Rebbe Akiva. Why not? Not the part, Stam, about whether there was a sale. That part, fine, the way the Rashbam will understand. That part is no Raya, that's the Resha. But even assuming that there was a sale, it can't be going Alibi Rebbe Akiva. Why am I? Because if it would be true, Minikitani Higdilu Yashpeh. It says over here that if Lamaisa was a sale, then the seller would have a right to cut down branches that grew out over his plants, right? Excuse me, but if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, why would I have a right to cut down the branches? So then that means if I even give you the rights to be able to walk through my field to get to your field or drive your tractor over my field, so, I mean, I'm not going to keep to myself the rights to not to cut down, to be able to cut down your branches. So isn't that a clear raya that we must be withholding that Meicher Bayin Rav Meicher in this Mishnah? Shaloke Okasa, of course, because my Rebbe doesn't paskin like this Mishnah, but this Mishnah is going on with a Kachami. That must be what he holds. Omar Lay, no. There's no, that doesn't make any sense. There's no reason to assume from the din of Yashpeh that the Mishnah in the Sefer is not going on with Rabbi Akiva. Because, I mean, think about it. Where did Rabbi Akiva say that a meicher is ba'ayin yafa meicher? Only in the case, ya'ayin mordomer Rabbi Akiva gabi bor v'dut. So the bor v'dut don't impact me. Remember we spoke about this distinction earlier. The bor v'dut, okay, they're not gonna be a problem for me, the buyer, to allow you here to have your bor v'dut. By the way, if I sell a bor v'dut, there's no problem in me. What do I care if you come into the bor v'dut? It bothers me, you drive. Okay, I mean, it's a violation of my privacy. But it doesn't hurt what I've kept for myself. So you're not going to disturb me. But Gabi Ilan, Mishamatle. I don't understand why you would think this wouldn't be included in Ilan. Isn't Rabbi Akiva Meira that an Ilan that's notel atokste chavero, shekotzeitz melom ardea, me'agabi me'acharisha? I mean, something that is going to clearly disturb me. You're telling me that that's also my Rabbi Yafa. In other words, if I'm giving a stranger, halachically, the rights to cut down a neighbor's tree that's over his rishus, well, what right do I have to cut down a neighbor's tree? Because it's a direct hazard. I can't grow anything there. Or I'm not able to pass under it with my tractor without bumping into the tree. So I'm allowed to cut that area down. Rabbi Kivis made it to that. So you're telling me that l'chatchila, when I make a sale, I'm making a sale that the guy should be mazik me? Does that make sense? I can't plant there. So to say he can walk through my field, fine, that's all very nice. But obviously I'm not going to have him buy something from me because I'm a nice guy that includes the rights to my being unable to use what I want to use. Direct hazard. That I don't accept. So Mamela, there was no reason for him to jump to the conclusion that the Mishnah is going, I'll leave the Chachamim, that it was Ba'ayin Ra'ah. And I'm back to what I'm asking before. Why in the world would he have asked a question that is based on not selling the Derech? Who says that you don't sell him the derech? Why doesn't he go according to Shmuel and say, well, of course he sold him the derech. So if he sold him the derech, he also gets him a low rent. What's his cash and reveals on it? That's what's bothering me. So Mila Bode Rabbi Akiva. In fact, Tani Kavasa Rabbi Kibaraba, Areze Kanatachteyem, Uveneyem, Vechutzelem, Kumlo Ore Vesalo.
To ask Sabaya now, Amalei Bailur Yosef, Otan Ora Ore Vesalo, Mizoran. We initially said we're giving him the land which is around the trees, and we're giving him the land between the trees, the triangle, and then we added this additional strip around each tree, which is big enough to stand under for the picker. The question is, do we understand that as a grant of the land, so that he can actually use it for whatever he wants, put picnic tables under there, or he can actually plant things under there, or are we giving him a right, similar to the right of a derech, which accounts for the discussion we just had, with the shaila of how in the world Rabbi Elazar's hatkafa, how in the world it could be better than a derech if you can't even get to it. So there's two ways of looking at it. And the definitive issue will be, of course, who gets the right to now use it for planting? So if it was just a right that was used to give him for the picker to use while he needs, so then it will be the seller that should be able to plant it. If it's a right that's in the land itself, so then it would be the buyer. How do we look at it?
It says beferish tenitua hachitzom zorea et haderech. In a case where I allowed a guy, if I hold meicher ba'ayin yafa, if I allowed a guy to have a derech now, there's two properties, one inside the other, and the one inside therefore gets the right to walk through the outside. What would be the din if I have the outside garden,
and you have the inside garden, and you have the right to walk to your inside garden. Who can plant the path to the garden? The din is, it says, beferish, the guy who owns the outside garden can put seeds down on the road to the inside garden, even though you have a right to walk to your garden. It's a right of walking, that's all. It's not a right of using it for anything. So over here, we're comparing the melo oreh, we're comparing the melo oreh to the rights of usage of a derek. That was the whole concept. Don't give him a derek. Why would you give him the melo oreh? So if that's the case, it should be exactly the same over here. You're giving him the rights to melo oreh v'salo, but we're not giving him the rights to be zoreh, the derek itself of the melo oreh v'salo. We should give those rights to the seller. Omar le, nah, me dummy, it's not similar at all. Because in the case where you are the one who bought the innermost garden, and Mamela therefore is understood to have purchased the entryway to the garden through the other person's garden. So is there a pseudo lelokeach? There's no pseudo lelokeach. The guy wants to be Zareah. Let him be Zareah. So what, there's going to be now cabbages that are growing here, huh? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I got to get to my garden, I'm going to walk over it. I mean, if it damages him, it'll damage him. But it's not free on me. You know, I feel bad for the guy, but I certainly have rights to walk here. But he's not going to disturb me by planting in the area that I'm going to be walking over. So there's no pseda for the lokeach. In this case, where we're awarding him the rights to the melo oreh v'salo, so then he can say, you know, there was nice hard ground around here. I was able to put down my things. The pears would fall. They would fall on the rocky area. And it didn't ever bother anybody. Now you're going to go ahead now and you're going to plant this area, guys. First, you got your fertilizer here, your seeds here. Every time something falls, it's going to be covered with filth. I can't have you being Zoreah here. So, Enochinami, I understand that the Lokeach can't be Zoreah. But why are you saying that the Meitah can be Zoreah if there's Tzedo Lokeach? Therefore, I hold Alodami Alasefa. You want to bring a riot from the din of the garden. So keep reading, because that's where to bring the garden. In a case over there, it's talking about where they agree that the derech to the inside would be along the edges of the outside garden. So why is the guy saying the edges? Saying the edges because he doesn't want now anybody trampling the garden itself. So if that's the case, the whole point is he's saying, look, you'll walk on that sidewalk. Walk on the sidewalk means I'm not going to plant there. You won't walk through my garden, you'll walk on the side of my garden. So then I'm saying I'm giving you a path, not a place, just a right to trample over. So if that's the case, I can't be Zoreah either. So in that case, Zevazeinan Rishoyim Lazora. And that's the situation over here. I'm giving you the right to go ahead and collect your stuff, as if it's a derech. No, okay, very good. That doesn't give me any rights to Zriah. On the other hand, I can't tell you I have rights to Zriah, because the right was for your payroll to be there without getting dirty. So okay, so I can't do things that would be Gerim Yuhafsit. So in this case, I also say that neither of them can be Zoreah at that area. Now, the other thing that we haven't discussed is Kamiyeh Binehen. We have not discussed how distant these trees can be from another. We've talked about how much land you give him, but I mean, now it's very clear, like, gosh, we're giving him the whole triangle. Obviously, we have to worry about what defines a steilon. So, Rav Yosef comes along now. I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Look, you can have as little as four amos, but even less than four amos, then basically you're not going to be able to work the area. You can't get a tractor between them. You're not going to be able to do any work on the ground. So that's not a reasonable, sustainable orchard. The maximum shear, if it's closer than four, so then it's not an orchard. It has to allow you room to work. We're saying you bought something that obviously it's just trees. It's not the shot that you're going to be Isaac in the agriculture of the ground. You don't have gisha to the ground. So that any trees that are in the way, I mean, if anything, you're going to just uproot them if you want to do that, right? If you want to farm it, you're going to have to uproot them, because it's not sustainable farming this way. To have less than four amas between the tree. So from four amas all the way up to shmona amas, so over there, up to shmona, once it's shmona amas, then each tree is living as a separate farm. Because I could come now, I could have two people that would theoretically own these two trees, with two tractors side by side, working the ground, so why should I see it as being one area? Separate fields. But since I didn't sell you a field and I sold you a tree. So now it's a tree. There's no field at all. That's the way to determine it. So it has to be basically standard, sustainable farming of trees. That is reasonable.
Between
4 and 8. So if it's 8 already, forget it. That's two separate trees, two separate farms. So I didn't sell you a farm. If it's less than 4, that's not sustainable. So obviously you're only buying trees, you're not buying a farm. So therefore that's very reasonable here.
Rava, Amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel, as Rava, now, also quoting Shmuel, both are quoting Shmuel, that the shear is from 8 to 16. So that we're not looking over here as to, and again, it's the once it's 16, it's already too far. If it's less than 8, then it's already too close. So what we're looking at over here is this question of what defines an orchard in terms of kilayim, where we have the same question in a vineyard. So indeed, Tain is a bayit Rav Yosef. Listen, it's not worth arguing with Rav Nachman on this. Obviously, you're wrong. Look, if I read the Rav Nachman, because the Mishnah clearly states Lagavi Kalayim his shear. Where would we come up with that measurement? So it must mean that that is what defines the nature of a sustainable farm. Not just enough that you should be able to get a tractor in, but that Adarabah, that each unit has enough that you should be able to farm it. So Adarabah, that would mean that the minimal would be 8. Then the maximum is 16, because over there it's so far away that there's nothing to connect the two areas at all, because there's enough space in the middle that I could have had another tree with another farm. So maybe they're not connected. That's the way to look at it. The Tznan, because the Mishnah says Beferish, Hanoteat Karmo, Sheshesre Amal, once you have a Karen, which has 16 Amot between every row, it's not a Karen. So it's, remember, the issue over here is a number of questions. What defines the Kaloya Karen? So, starting the simple way is to take a look at the yanika. If the yanika is within 6 tvachim of the other tree, doesn't matter whether we give it a din of a karam. You're mixing a vine with other growth. That's the same din as kalei karam. Each thing has to be far away enough for its own clear yanika. But there's another issue. There's an issue in which something becomes defined as the whole place is a karam. So over there, even if you're 6 tvachim away, but yeah, you're in the middle of the vineyard. What defines the middle of a vineyard? A sustainable vineyard in which you are not only sustainable, but an efficient, sustainable vineyard. That's the point. If it's no longer efficient, so you left already 16 amos between the various rows, that's completely wasted space. There's no need to do that. Ella must be, each row is a separate area. Once each row is a separate area, we're back to the normal halacha. Okay, don't get within 6 tvachim. Fine. So be marked 6 tvachim on every side and plant in the middle, because the middle is clearly a different farm. It's not part of a carrot. Now, it's true that there's another issue. The other issue being that if there's branches, you're not allowed to plant directly under the branch. Let's say you have grapes that are growing overhead, so you can't have things growing underneath. That's a separate thing. That's not from the roots. That's because it looks like it's growing together with the grapes. Fine. So you have to make sure there's no grapes growing above, no branches directly above. Yeah. So,
between the rows?
Between the rows. Rows. No, between each, that's just, has to be sustainable. That's not aimed to be ne'akar. That's a different shear completely. Exactly. That's why it's completely inefficient. It's crazy. Who makes a farm that's so inefficient? So therefore, it must be that the area in between is not part of the carrot. So Enochinami turned it into a different farm. Plant corn there. Well, you say, but it's in the middle of a vineyard. What do you mean it's the middle of a vineyard? It's a completely different area. Therefore, if that's the shear by a karam, that's very reasonable to say that sustainable, efficient farming is defined in that fashion. And that would be the halacha over here. And so, Mamela, it's got to be that the second shot in Shmuel, Alibir Rav Nachman, is the right one. Because here it says, Mutter Lavi Zer Alasham. Well, I'll tell you a maisa. There was a maisa in Salmon, Be'achad Shinatat Karmo Sheshes Re'amah Sheshes Re'amah, V'hayahofeich Sa'ar Shteis Shurot Tzadachad, V'zoreat Hanir, and the Shana Acheret Ayafechet Asar Lamakom Azera V'zorah Tabor. Ubama said, "Rachami Tiru." I'll tell you a little bit what happened. There was this guy who had such a vineyard. So what he would do was every other year he would plant every other space between the rows. So how did he do it? So each year he would have the branches growing towards opposite sides. So let's say we have the area between rows A and B. We'll call that area X. And between B and C rows, we'll call that area Y. So he would have all the A, B branches over area X 1 year, which left now the area Y free and clear, no branches overhead, no problem, and he would plant corn in the middle rows. And then the next year, in order to, again, now here the shaila is in order what? So in order to have sustainable use of the land, he would switch the branches to the other side that year, and he would plant area X with his corn. Now, here there's a machlokas. Because the simple way of learning it, according to almost all the Rishonim, is that the issue is the distance from the Shoreshim, as we explained. And the only reason that you have to be mahapich l'sa'ar, the branches, is because you can't have corn growing under the parent. The Rashbam learns that the shear of harchaka is from the branches, not from the trunks. That means he has a different pirush on the whole shear over here, including what the guy was doing. And it wasn't just a question of avoiding having things under the trunks. It's that he measured the distance differently each year. So one year there was room here, the other year there wasn't. It's not because the branches were so long that they were 60 namas long. That's crazy. It's just that the branches were the beginning of where you start counting the 60 namas. So if you would have the branches in that direction, there wouldn't be 60 namas. So what he would do was he would cut off the growth on one side, have it grow to the other. So you'd think, I mean, isn't that strange that last year it wasn't? No, that's okay. So Chum came along, and they were moderate. So you see that Reb Nachman is right. So he said, come off it, Reb Yosef, don't start up with Reb Nachman. Amalei, so Reb Yosef said, look, buddy, I don't know. Meaning, I can't relax. It's clear that that's not the halacha. Why are we paskin not that way? So on Analo Yadana, I know halacha la maisa, I was paskin a bezdin. I know that there was an uvda in the Dura de Ruta. I remember we had a question whether Dura de Ruta means the place where the roim are. We discussed it earlier that, to make these areas that people were in Zoyner, or whether it's mamish the name of a town, Shepherd Town, right? There are such cities that fest in Shepherd Town. Yeah. So in Shepherd Town, there was a maisa that came to Rabbi Yehuda, and Omarle, Zil Havle Kimlo Bakar Vechelav. So over there, the maisa was somebody sold, Shalosh Ilamim. And there were not Shmeina Ameis Benehem. And the question was, did he sell him the karka or not? It came to Bezdin. The buyer was claiming that he had bought the karka. And the seller said, no, it's too far away. And so he told him, reviewed a paskin over there, and told the seller, you have to give the lokeach karka even if you only have malo bakar v'chelav. Now, I didn't know l'chatchila what malo bakar v'chelav was. So I didn't understand how that impacted our psak over here. So initially, lo ha'v'yadana k'malo bakar v'chelav kamahu, and I wouldn't have given you my opinion. But then I heard a brisa that was mefarish, the Mishnah that we had. Given the shameit v'had itzah, I heard on the Mishnah we had earlier, that lo yita adam ilan samuch v'stei chavero, ela imken yichik v'meno arba amot. Okay, that doesn't have anything to do with this. But then I heard a brayta that says, Tony, how long? Why does the Mishnah and Baba Basra say arba amos? Arba amos she'omru kedei avodat hakerem. Oh, so now I chapt. If the reason for the harchaka of arba amos is because I need to bring a tractor in there, then that is the shear of Bakar V'chelav. Bakar V'chelav is the tractor. So from there I learned, Shmamila kimlo Bakar V'chelav was arba amos. So when Rabbi Yehuda told him, if there's arba amos between the trees, you need to give it to him. Oh, so then if that's the case, then obviously we paskin not like Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman was saying it was based on the Mishnah in Kilayim, but I'm telling you, the Reb Yehuda, halacha l'maaseh paskin not like that. So apparently there was a das yachid. We're going to see tomorrow what the other day is, sorry, the Mishnah. So now, I mean, even though l'maaseh, you'll say, what does that prove? I mean, it doesn't prove that the whole thing is wrong. It only proves we could start at 4. But maybe we can go from 4 all the way to 16. Okay, so Tosha says, look, I mean, once I've shown already that the ratio is not, so then it's mistaken that that's all sheer. And I can say from 4 to 16. It's from 4 to 8. But, I mean, Lamaisa, we've seen this far before. So once you're telling me that all I need to do is to have an area around my tree in which I can now easily farm it, and the other tree also has that area, so what's B'chayev me to say each one has to be farmed now simultaneously? Okay, so if that's the case, then obviously once it's 8, it's no longer efficient, because now I have two separate farms. Okay, tomorrow we'll see what the svara would be. Yidilu lo yashpe, echidami, when we say minageza, echidami minasharashim, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, kosho epnei akama, zeo minageza, she'ina ro pnei akama, zeo minasharashim. And one day he's going to come along at Taina Tlatas of Italy, and therefore eat Liara. El Omer of Nachman, that doesn't mean it's his to grow. It means it's his to be Yakutz. V'chin Omer of Yochanan, it means that the buyer can be cut. Omer of Nachman, Naktinan, Dekel Ein Logeza. Sover of Zviva Meimar, what does that mean? that in lo geza lebaladekal, because initially it was lemichbar lesharish koy, therefore it's a sukkah mesach baite, and even if lemaisa after cutting down it grows, it's not yours. Maskev papa arkenish ilanot, which in the end is lemichbar lemishrish kaime, and nonetheless it says yesh lo geza. Elam Rav Papa means ein lo geza lebaldekal, meaning the what it's meitzi from the geza, because he never bought that, because it's not normal. Lefishenu matzi geza, and Takel Rizvid kasher matzi nisin, that ain't a chinami. Rizvid will have to say that it's talking about the zovin lechamesh nim. Now, kana shlosha kana karka v'kama, Omra Pir Barava, Omra Yochanan, Areze kana tachtehem. Uveneihem, v'chutzlem kumlu orevesalo. Maskiflo revelozer, hashta derech emo, because it's arachritehi. You're going to tell me that kumlu orevesalo yeshlo? I mean, this is crazy. Omer's vidi, Omer's here, you notice that midivre rabbeinu nilmad, that shloshanu de emo, but shnaim yeshlo, because in that case, he wouldn't have a different karka. He said it was arachrite. In this case, it would be ba'ar didoch kaime, he could tell him, and therefore you have to provide whatever I need. And what was Rabbi Elazar assuming over here? Labor Rabbi Elazar led to Shmuel Rabbe. The Omar Shmuel alokik Rabbi Akiva. The Omar Mocher ba'ayin Yafa Mocher. And he's saying you don't get a derech, which means going a little bit of Rabbonan. That Mocher is ba'ayin Ro Mocher. Omar Le, no, he holds of Shmuel, he just doesn't hold it's possible in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Akiva. Mimai. Miniktani Igdilu Yashpet. If you hold it, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. What kind of Ayin Yofa is that? Amai Yashpet. I'm keeping to myself the right to cut down the branches that I'm selling you. I mean, it's crazy. So if according to Rabbi Akiva, it's Baikab Ayin Yofa, Meicha. Omar Le, that's not true. Because Eimud Omer Rabbi Akiva Gabi Bor Vedut, we're over there, Lo Makshishi Ara, if you walk to it, right? But Gabi Ilan Mishamatle, that you can grow your branches over my field, and then I won't be able to farm my field? Milo Modi Rabbi Akiva Bilana Notela Tokste Chavero, Shekotseitz Velo Mardea Meagabea Macharisha, because that's what I need to get my tractor under your tree? Tanika Vasiru Kir Baraba, Otan Orevisalo area. Mizor an. Omar Land says the Farish. Tinitu in the case of the inner garden and the outer garden, that Hakitson is Zorea Tadera. Omale is no comparison. Hatab letle pseda lokea. He'll simply walk along the path and trample your vegetables if they get in the way. Avalacha, it's upset a lokeach. Because if any of his fruit fall, he can tend to come a tanfi peri. If anything, it's all Daniel the Sefer. Ze veze in anrishain lezor'ah. In the case of the garden, where I give him a right to walk along the edge of the garden. Tane gavazi de abaye, harizikana tachteyem, uveneyem, vechutzulayem, kimelo orevis halo, veze veze in anrishain lezor'ah. Now, kami ebenehem, om rev Yosef, om rev Yudam, om Shmuel, mi arba amot at shmune. Rav am rev Nachman, om rev Shmuel, mi shmune amot at sheshesre. Om rev Yabai al rev Yosef, lo tifla galed rev Nachman, because it's a preferish of Mishnah Kavate, the Tanah. Hanotea et karmo, sheshesre ama, between each row, mutul avizar al Hashem, between the rows. Om rev Yudam, aseb et salmon, ואחד שנתת קרמות 16 על 16 עמה, והיה הופך שער שתי שירות בצד אחד וזורע את הניר, and then the next year he would be הופך את השער למקום הזרע, and that year he would be זורע את הבור. ובא מעשה בני חכמים, and they were mad at all things. Oh, Mali, look, I can't explain that. Mishnah נעלה ידענה, I know עובדה הווי בדור דרעותה, אותה לקמת רב יהודה, and he said to the seller, look, if there's a molo bakar v'kelav between the trees, it becomes a stehilan. You're going to have to give him the karka. Now, I didn't initially know lav yadanik molo bakar v'kelav kamahav. However, afterwards I heard a brayta on the Mishnah, given the Shabbatim, lo had it's none, the Mishnah we had earlier, lo yita adam ilan samuch l'stecha beirot, elin kenir kik bimeno arba amod. And the brayta that I heard that we find that reads as follows. Toni Allah, arba amod shamru kidei avodat hakerem. So now I figure it out. Huh? So amina shmanila kemelo bakar v'keilav. It must be arba amod.